Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. This podcast is for the federal government attorney navigating the complex intersection of acquisitions and fiscal law and policy. I am your host, Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Firing.
And I'm Major Ed Callahan. And today we're jumping into the revolutionary FOW overhaul.
Our goal on this podcast is to break down the RFO and go through each part and discuss the changes. Hopefully by breaking it down, it won't be so overwhelming.
And to help us out today, we have Lieutenant Colonel Matt Firing, who's the chair of the Contract and Fiscal Law Department here at the T.J. Eichler School. And he's joining us to talk about the changes to the Federal Acquisition Regulation and specifically the changes governing competition, FAR Part 6.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Ed, for having me back. I appreciate it.
So let's first start, what exactly is the revolutionary FAR overhaul?
Okay, so it's considered one of the most significant transformation of federal procurement regulations in probably about over four decades. This was all initiated by President Trump's Executive Order 14275. And really what the overhaul aims to do is streamline the federal acquisition reg, which has been criticized by industry, government, personnel as being overly complex and bureaucratic. So really the goal is to create a more agile, effective, and effective procurement system by retaining only the provisions required by statute or those that are essential for sound procurement.
And this overhaul is being implemented in two phases. First, through class deviations issued by individual agencies, and second, through a formal rulemaking process. And everything is hoped to be completed by 14 November 2026.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. And as Ellie mentioned earlier, we're going to do this piece by piece so that we're not trying to take them all on together. So let's start with FAR Part 6. And sir, if you could walk us through a little bit, what do we mean when we're talking about competition changes?
Okay. Thanks, Ed. So, right, FAR Part 6 is the part of the federal acquisition reg that governs competition. And the way I think of competition, first and foremost, is what are we talking about here, right? Because competition means different things for different animals, right? So are we talking a procurement contract or a non-procurement contract? And the reason that is so important is competition, say, for another transaction, which is not a procurement contract, that has different competitive procedures associated with it, as opposed to a procurement contract, that is governed by the Competition and Contracting Act, right? So assuming we're talking a procurement contract, an executive agency using that shall obtain full and open competition through the use of competitive procedures. And you'll find that in Title 41 and also in Title 10. And those standard competitive procedures I think many of us are accustomed to when dealing with procurement contracts is sealed bidding or contracting by negotiation, right? Those are the two means by which agencies achieve full and open competition for a procurement contract.
So one of the core tenets of our contracting process and philosophy then.
Exactly.
Okay, so then what has changed then in FAR Part 6?
All right, so the overhaul has substantially streamlined this process, this part, I would say, reducing it from what it was originally five subparts to now just three. And one would argue just two because one of those is reserved. So there's no real text associated with it. So really two substantive subparts in the new FAR Part 6. It cuts down significantly the number of sections, and the new structure is a little bit more intuitive because it correlates more with the acquisition lifecycle, right? So it has the two subparts of substance that I mentioned. One is named pre-solicitation, and the other references post-award.
For those of us that live in these documents day to day, that is greatly appreciated, making things easier to find.
So just to go a little bit further into detail on what the new FAR Part 6 is going to look like, one of the most notable changes is the consolidation of set-aside provisions under full and open competition after excluding sources. So previously, the original FAR, prior to its revision, had the set-aside provisions all set aside, no pun intended, had them all broken down by what types of socioeconomic programs you were dealing with. and this was arguably repeated in FAR Part 19. The new streamline approach, or the revolutionary FAR overhaul, really moved a lot of those subsections and just said, see FAR Part 19, right? So what I would say is remove the duplicative nature of those set-aside provisions.
And sir, keep those set-aside jokes coming. It's what our listeners keep coming back for. That was perfect.
I guarantee that will be the only joke you will hear the remainder of this podcast. And then also, you think about FAR Part 6 and competition. There's a 7 circumstances that permit contracting without full and open competition, right? What we think of as sole source. And they've been really just renumbered and simplified with clearer language and fewer prescriptive requirements. So less documentary requirements, because those 7 circumstances for sole source are statutory in nature. So as I mentioned earlier, we're going to streamline the FAR, but we have to retain those provisions that are statutorily required. And then just those, as far as the documentary piece of it and the requirements for the J&A, they've been streamlined a little bit, right? So they gave us what I'd like to call a fancy, nice chart for us to read on who can approve justifications and approvals, right? So to the extent we're going to go ahead and exploit or leverage a sole source contract, 5 out of the 7 provisions require a sole source J&A. And certain folks need to approve those J&As, right? So what the new FAR overhaul did was just provide us a chart that lays out those approval authorities, which is, I would argue, a lot easier to read.
Yeah, no, that's going to make things a lot more helpful. But we're talking here about the FAR. Any of these changes down at the DFAS level yet?
Okay, so the Department of War issued Class Deviation 2026-0017, and it actually received a subsequent revision 1, which alters the competition requirements for defense acquisitions, right? So the key change in the deviation is the implementation of new approval authorities. And this is nothing new, right? So previously, approval authorities for those J&As, certain approval thresholds existed for all executive agencies, and the Department of War had increased thresholds and different approval authorities. So obviously, the DFARS is going to have to capture what are those specific Department of War approval authorities. And most importantly, the DFARS deviation captures our FY26 NDAA, because Congress gave the Department of War additional flexibilities as to who can approve what.
All right, so what are those differences then?
Yeah, so I'll lay them out really briefly, right? So the contracting officer can approve a J&A up to $10 million. And then the advocate for competition can approve J&As up to $100 million. So between $900,000 to $100 million is the advocate for competition. And then if we're going even higher, up to $500 million, it's the HCA, or the head of contracting activity. He or she can approve that J&A. And then finally, anything above $500 million, the agency's senior procurement executive. So for the Army, the ASALT would be the approval authority for a J&A at that threshold.
So those are some significant differences between FAR authorities and DFAS authorities. Anything else notable in the DFAS deviations?
So I think with the evolution in the Department of War, innovating, transformation, trying to leverage different vehicles by which we acquire our services and supplies, I think the DFARS did a good service for the reader in essentially capturing some of those different contract vehicles, right? One in particular that I would say is, or two in particular. One, it captures your 10 U.S.C. 4022, which is your OT statute for prototype projects. And as part of that statute, and which was recently modified in FY26 NDAA, it talks about follow-on competition contracts, follow-on production contracts. So you do a prototype. If the prototype was subjected to competitive procedures, there is some flexibility to do a sole source production contract of that prototype. Clearly, there's a nexus between competition and leveraging 10 U.S.C. 4022. You may ask, well, why is OTs taught in the FAR? Because the FAR governs procurement contracts. Well, it's because we're talking a production contract, so not necessarily a production OT. Another big thing that they captured was, and this is really Department of War's big push, is to use commercial solutions openings and broad agency announcements. That's a big deal. It's something that we see contracting officers using now. And it just captures in the DFARS really, hey, CSOs, that's a valid competitive procedure. So for the DOD. And for more information, that's 10 USC 3458.
With the push for prototypes and OTs, I'm glad to see that they've brought in some clarification into the DFARS, help with some of the ambiguity that might be surrounding those types of follow-ons.
Yeah, and what I would say is, just since we're on the topic of the Department of War DFARS, a couple of things to just note, to just remind yourself. One, remember, the Department of War has a specific rule that we need to justify brand name or equal, right? So if you look at the FAR, for example, it says just brand name needs a J&A. But by legislation, the Department of War needs to do a J&A for brand name or equal. So note that is retained within the DFARS, right? So if you're a Department of War practitioner or contracting officer, you need to do a J&A for brand name or equal, even though the rest of the executive branch does not. Another big thing closely related to competition, and whoever will cover FAR Part 5 will discuss that, but publicizing contract actions, right? We all know, to the extent the agency wants to achieve full and open competition, we publicize through the government point of entry. SAM.gov is considered the government point of entry. And there's rules on how long those things need to be posted on the government point of entry. Well, FAR Part 5 articulates and provides us a nice, beautiful chart that outlines what those requirements are. And this was long overdue, because in the prior version, you had to go through a lot of different provisions to figure out what those timeframes are. So the chart really does a service for any practitioner.
Having dug into FAR Part 5 because I had to teach it, oh my gosh, this is one that I'm so glad they changed it and gave us those charts, because it was so much easier to explain and point them to the chart and how all the timelines work. So we definitely will be covering that in another episode, but I'm very thankful for those changes.
Yeah, me too, honestly, because I've seen some reference material, but I always like to go to the source. Now I got something within the FAR, which is the source. But that's really it as far as the competition requirements. I mean, competition requirements is largely statutory through Competition and Contracting Act, but it's definitely worthwhile to review the RFO and the DFARS deviations, because besides the renumbering, I think there's like an added level of simplicity, or dare I say, efficiency.
Ooh, joke number two. All right, so for more information, I know when I need this stuff, I highly recommend on acquisition.gov. There's a tab at the top for the Revolutionary FAR Overhaul. Find all sorts of resources in there, to include some line out documents. I find that really helpful when going through. Make sure you're paying attention to the deviations applicable to your agencies. I also think the Defense Pricing, Contracting, and Acquisition Policy website, they have a page dedicated to the DFARS on the Revolutionary FAR Class Overhaul deviations, and I use them quite a bit.
Lieutenant Colonel Firing, thank you for walking us through the new RFO FAR Part 6. It's very helpful just to know what has changed and what hasn't changed. So thank you for sitting down with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of FAR and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.
We love to hear from our listeners, and in particular, after this episode, please let us know which jokes you loved that Colonel Firing dropped, so we can encourage him to do more in the future. Continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. The information can be found in the show notes from today's episode.
The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, the Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.